I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm good. The sun is shining, and spring is around the corner, so you know, I will be perpetually optimistic.
You will be perpetually optimistic because you see sunshine, you see green, you see flowers. I actually saw some daffodils starting to bloom.
I have some crocus coming up. I've got a few things in my yard.
That's great. So that tells us that there is always hope.
Yep.
There are a lot of things that we can be optimistic about. Even though we're in the midst of this global pandemic, we really have it pretty good. One of the things that I noticed, I've been doing every now and then I'll do a little bit of research on the Spanish flu of 1918.
Mm-hmm.
That was dreadful. I mean, you want to talk about devastating. A quarter of the population in the world was infected with the flu.
Wow.
You know, so it really puts things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting when I was, last week I started making some phone calls to some of the elderly people in my church just to make sure I stay connected with them. And I would ask them how they're doing. Oh, we're fine. We're fine. And then I realized what these people had gone through in their lifetime. That for them, this was nothing. Because they had gone through, let's say, World War II, the Great Depression. You know, some of them being in Europe were actually in concentration camps. You know, and so for them, this is like, okay, it's serious, but I have food and I have a place to live. I'm not complaining. So I get a lot of inspiration from those folks. So last week we did For Such a Time as This Part One, and that was really the trying to help the leader understand what they need to do, that they need to kind of make the shift, get away from being super negative and make a shift to more positive. The next thing that we were talking that they should do is, you know, they have to ask themselves the question, how will this crisis make me better? Again, focusing on that, you know, that opportunity is in the middle of difficulty. And the third question that they were kind of working through was, how will I use this crisis to help others? Which leads us to For Such a Time as This Part Two, which is really working with the other people. Now we're kind of working with our teams. And I picked three things again that I wrote about that I think we really need to work on. And feel free, Marissa, if there's some things that don't make sense, to just say, hey, I don't get that, or you need to explain that some more. The first one is, and I didn't create this one. I stole this one from John Maxwell. Communicate judiciously more than continually. And, you know, people that have listened to me or read my writings know that I think that communication is really a crucial skill for any leader. You can't be a leader if you can't communicate, because you have to be able to inspire people. And there are some, the best leaders understand that there's a phrase that I've shared with you. I think I've shared it with you in the past. Apples of gold and pictures of silver. It actually comes out of the book of Proverbs. You know, and think about, if you think about that, your words might be like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And I just think leaders should craft the message. So I'm going to ask you a question that I didn't tell you I was going to ask you. She's like, oh, great. Here he goes again. So what happens when the leader just communicates nonstop? How does it make you feel?
Overloaded, overwhelmed.
Overload, yeah. Mm-hmm. Overloaded and overwhelmed. Because you don't, you know, it's not that they're not trying to be a jerk. They're just trying too hard to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
What our folks need is to know we care and that we're there and that we have a plan and that we're working together with them to look for a better future, to mine for the opportunity that's in the middle of the difficulty. But we got to be careful that we don't talk too much. Let their brains have time to process what we've said. So you really just need to think through what it is you really want to say, because there's so much information that's bombarding our teams right now. The constant news flashes, you know, if I hear one more, you know, special alert, news, whatever, come on, just once a day is all I really need. So again, communicate judiciously more than continually. The next one is come alongside them. And what I mean there is there's times when our teams really want General Patton out in front of the troops. Now, you know, again, a leader should never be behind somebody unless it's you're letting them take the credit. We don't want to send them into the front lines by themselves. But there's times when you have to really just kind of walk alongside them to figure out where they are. We need to connect on an individual basis with them. And one of the things that I was, as I was doing some of my training a week ago with my mentor, Christian Simpson, Christian started talking about fear. And I thought this was really great, where he said, fear is a symptom. It's not a tangible thing. And fear is a symptom that is indicating what we're thinking about. And the more aware people are of what's going on, the greater their ability to deal with their fear. So I deliberately slowed down when I said that. So if our teams are fearful, they may not be open to telling people in a big meeting what their fear is. So if we expect them to be vulnerable in a place where they're not comfortable being vulnerable, they won't. They'll just shut down and they will continue to be fearful. I used an example in our webinar that I did today of a time in 2011. I'm losing track of my years here. It comes with age. But the company that I was running at the time, we had some real financial struggles. We had some cost overruns from a move and things. And I remember vividly, it was summertime. And maybe I shared this on our podcast. My wife actually said to me, let's go up to the Antique Boat Show in Clayton. I know you love the boat show. Let's go up there and just take a walk. And I was standing in one of the covered boat slips. And actually, if anybody's ever been there, it's the slip that they usually keep, pardon me, in. And all of a sudden, I had this panic attack that I had to liquidate self-lock. And it was a totally irrational fear. There was no reason under the sun why I would have to do that. But I was going it alone. I wasn't talking to any mentors. I didn't have a coach. And my thoughts went out of control and spun into this fear that literally created a panic attack. Once I thought through it, it didn't make any sense. But I didn't have anybody to help me think through it. I could have shortened that entire process if I would have just had somebody that could help me. And this was a great statement that I heard from my mentor. We get stuck on the wall of fear. If we get stuck at the wall of fear, we never know what's on the other side of the wall. If we get stuck on the wall of fear, we never see what's on the other side. We'll never know what's on the other side of the wall. So this coming alongside is really a coaching, helps us move from what we're spinning around in our head to what is reality, to then what we can do. And that's really what I mean by this coming alongside people. This was another point that my coaching mentor made. And this was a great statement. I've heard him say it many times, but it just affected me a lot more. If you fail to go within, you will most sure go without. If you fail to go within, you will most surely go without. And what he means is, if you don't help a person get inside their thoughts, they're not going to be able to make progress. Because it's within our thoughts that we're creating a lot of these anxieties, these fears and things. And then he also talked about being creative versus reactive. And I thought this was great. Fear causes us to react. But if we can move beyond the fear, we can actually become creative and have an opportunity basis for our mindset.
Mm-hmm. I like that, because we often talk about reactivity and proactivity, but in situations right. like this, I mean, it was hard to be proactive when we couldn't have even imagined what would have unfolded.
Yes.
You know, 2 months ago. But to shift that into creativity, right? It's too late to be proactive because it's already mm-hmm. happened. But thinking creatively about, okay, now what can we do?
Exactly. Exactly. And the reason, and so when, if our folks, if we're still trapped inside our fear, mm-hmm. we can't get there.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying the leader needs to come alongside the team member and help them process through their fears. Now, we're not psychotherapists. And I realize that, you know, probably a lot of the people that are listening to the next page aren't trained as a coach. But, and this is something that a lot of people miss. A lot of people think that coaching is mentoring, and it's not. Mentoring is when I share my experience with you. I tell you what I've done, and I give you advice based on my past. Mentoring is critical. It's you know, everybody needs mentors. And I've heard people who think they're coaches do what they think is coaching, and they're mentoring. And sometimes they're not even mentoring; they're just giving advice.
Mm-hmm.
But so the leader doesn't have to. What we're asking here is just to help the person explain what are they worried about. And I'll give you an example of a time when I had to process through a fear. So how many years ago? It's probably 33 years ago. Because my wife and I had just built our house. Might have been maybe not 30. Yeah, about 33 years ago this year. So maybe 32 years ago is when I was thinking about it. And I remember for whatever reason, work things were it was like 1988. The economy wasn't great. It was okay, but it wasn't great. The company that I was working for was having a lot of slowdowns. And I started worrying about, could I keep my house? You know, we were house poor. We built more of a house than we probably should have, but the nice part is I'm still in it. But I started wondering, I started getting worried, I'm going to lose my house. And then I kind of processed through the thoughts on my own. So, okay, what's the worst case scenario? Well, the worst case scenario is I lose my job and I have to sell my house. Well, my father-in-law and I built my house. So I had tremendous equity from the time I moved in. All the builder's equity was mine. It was in the building. So the worst case scenario was I lose my job, I sell my house, I have a bunch of money in the bank because I sold the house. I have to go live with my parents with my three kids. Well, at the time, my parents lived on Otisco Lake, and their house, they had this beautiful house that was literally like two levels. The bottom level had a full kitchen, family room, two bedrooms, full bath, storage room, giant dining area. So if I really went to the extreme of my worst case scenario, I had waterfront property and money in the bank. And as soon as I thought that, just the anxiety just dropped. Okay, so now what do we do? Well, you know, things didn't get as bad as I thought it was at the company. And when I had the opportunity, I moved on to another opportunity. But we get locked up in our fears. And so what we're just saying is people need to help people think through their fears, just speak them, ask them why, how they're concerned or why that's a concern that they're having. You know, so if somebody could say, well, what if COVID-19 is contagious and is as serious a health risk as the Spanish flu? Well, in 1918, they didn't have ICUs with ventilators. So the death rate from COVID-19 is going to be much less than it was for probably any other pandemic, just because of how far technology has advanced. So we're helping them move from being reactive to being creative, which now is, how do I help them move to a more positive life stance? So Marissa, if I were to ask you, describe for me what it feels like when you're optimistic. What's that feel like?
Well, you know, it feels hopeful. It feels like you can put a smile on your face. I think it lightens the heaviness of everything going on right now. I'm specifically, right. I mean, if you asked me today what that means, that's how I would describe it. You know, truthfully, I feel like it's imperative for me to be optimistic right now.
Yes.
Because if I wasn't, I know myself. And if I wasn't, I would be spiraling about this. Yeah. I mean, everyone who listens to the podcast knows I'm a germaphobe. Exactly. We've talked about my library book invention, and I think I should have done it because maybe our libraries would still be able to be partially open right now.
Or they could have found ways to clean the N95 masks that were in short. We have a short supply of.
True.
You better work on this before the next pandemic.
Clean our groceries as they go down the line. Mm-hmm. I really need to come through on this for everyone. But
you do. The world is waiting on
my creativity. But if I wasn't feeling optimistic, this could really break me, just knowing how I am about germs.
Right.
But I just keep thinking about the good that will come of this.
Right.
There will be bad for sure, but there will be good. And we've talked about this before. I'm spending more time with my kids. This will be a positive step for our environment. There will be less pollution. Mm-hmm. Because people are out less. I think a lot of people will come out of this with more compassion. I really, truly believe that. We've seen people band together to support our, healthcare workers, people on the front lines of this. A lot will come of this. And I think people will get creative. We've seen businesses transform what they manufacture.
Right.
To support this. And, that might make them say, hey, like, we're capable of doing different things and we can grow our business and diversify our business. And, maybe right now it's a tough time, but maybe after this, we'll be able to increase our workforce by 25% or, something like that. So exactly. I just look at, like I said, today's a sunny day and mm-hmm. I've been trying to get outside in the sun, and I just think, there will be good from this, and I will remain optimistic.
So let me ask you a question. Is your optimism a choice, or is your optimism something that's just naturally occurring?
For me, I think it's a choice.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the answer you were hoping for, but
it was. No, that's exactly the answer. Because I think even if somebody is by nature more optimistic, you still have to choose in a mm-hmm. time. So let's say I'm a more optimistic person. That's wonderful when it's blue sky and puppy dogs and bunny rabbits. Okay, I'm optimistic. The pessimist would say, you better put sunscreen on or you're going to get a burn.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a really serious time. I'm not making light of COVID-19. There are people that are going to die. There are people that are going to lose their jobs. Companies are going to close. I understand that. But we're choosing to be optimistic. And the reason we need to choose it is because there is always an upside in every situation. And that was one of the notes that I wrote from one of the trainings I did. But then I put this other note. Do you see it right now? It will be gone soon. So the opportunity, the upside, is in the middle of the difficulty, and if we don't seize it, it's gone. I'll use Macne as an example. Because of Macne's connections with Albany, we were able to get our members information quicker than through the news.
Mm-hmm.
So Randy, our CEO, was it a couple weeks ago he started his 4 o'clock update?
Yeah, I think it's been almost 3 weeks.
Yeah. So as soon as he did it, man, we had well over 100 members logging into that call. Had Macne not done that, somebody else would have. Because somebody else was going to seize the opportunity, but we saw it first. And one of the things that people have heard me say, and I steal this from my mentor, John, leaders see more than others see, and they see before others see. So if we don't find the opportunity in the middle of the difficulty, it will be gone soon. Beacon Skiff can't sell its product. Nobody can go up to the farm, but they're making hand sanitizer. And it is such a good selling item right now that even when I saw the alert on Instagram, I went right to the webpage. They're sold out.
Wow.
Opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's opportunity. So that's why I was. That's why I was glad you said it's a choice. And now optimism is not a naive way of. It's not just being naive and saying, well, you know, think it's. It's not positivity. It's not like, oh, it's good, it's good, it's good, when it's not. It's a realization. It's a hope and a realization that this too shall pass. And when we get to the other side, it's going to be better. It really will be better. You heard me talk about this on our call today, but and this is part of my email that went out this morning. But we've been through some things like this before. Y2K, 9/11, anthrax, West Nile, SARS, the bird flu, the Great Recession, H1N1, Ebola. That's just in the last 20 years. This is bad. It's a bad situation. One of the things I noted on our call today, the market. The stock market before the Great Recession that hit us in 2008 was at, 14,000. It bottomed out at 6,000. The stock market, when I checked at noon today, was 21,000. That's after having some of the worst free falls in the history of the market. So it's not all bad.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to find the opportunity. Again, it's not being naive. It's actually focusing on, hey, it will get better, and we know it's going to get better, and it's going to get better soon. And look for that opportunity in everything that you're doing. Can you think of some other things that Macne's doing that we wouldn't have thought about doing 6 weeks ago?
I feel like a lot of the things we're doing are things that we weren't doing 6 weeks ago. We're offering just about all of our training online, which
exactly.
is new for you. You shared
that. Oh, it's hard too. Oh my goodness. Did my first total online class today. It was brutal. I was exhausted after 2.5 hours.
Brutal according to you, great according to a few people I spoke with who were in the class.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that.
That's new. We're taking as many of our council events as we can online and adding yep. and adding new council events that did not right. exist before, adding those online. We have had the opportunity to have Congressman Kako on our webinar to speak to our members yep. twice. I've interacted with more members than I have in a very long time, which,
yep.
you know, it's just nice to stay engaged. Randy's doing his webinars. You're doing webinars.
Right.
We're helping people. And I think that's what I love the most. I mean, we're tired. We're working crazy hours. We're working long days. But it's rewarding because we have had an opportunity to just help so many people. And you know, when we're helping our members, it's good for their business, but it's also great for their employees. And it exactly. all comes full circle. It's better for everyone, our community, the economy, everything. So I think we've just had a lot of opportunities to do that.
Exactly. And I think that's great. You know, you nailed a bunch of the things that I was thinking about. You know, the skill sets that we're learning that we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're learning that we can actually function as a team and not be in the same building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the webinars that I'm doing on leading through crisis, we're not charging for them. You know, we just want to get the information out there because we know if our members, if our community thrives, all of us win. So that's kind of where I want to leave today is setting the tone of helping us. First, we took care of the leader. But we also, leaders, remember, you're going to need frequent opportunities to get help, okay? Because you're going to have down days, really down days. We all have them. Today, we focused on how do we get our team back in line. And then what I'd like to talk about next week is how do we really leverage creativity to be able to position ourselves almost like a catapult as soon as the economy improves. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about for next week.
Great.
Anything else you think we need to add?
Wash your hands, people.
Wash your hands.
Stay wash inside your hands. And wash your hands.
Exactly. And just remember, this too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.